Well, today is the final Sunday of a message series that we've been calling The Gist of Generosity. And if you were here last week, then you know that I shared kind of a unique way for someone to express generosity through something called the God Pocket. And the practice of the God Pocket is just nothing more than designating a certain amount of money that you then allow God to direct you to give as He presents opportunities. And I've already had some folks who have shared with me how this practice has created some God moments for them. And if that happens for you, I would love to hear your story as well. In fact, this morning I've invited Ted Hoosey and his daughter Natalie to come and share, because last week when the service was over, Natalie came up and said, "Pastor Brian, I got a God Pocket story already that I didn't even know about, and it's an amazing thing." And I wanted Ted to kind of tell you a little about it. Ted, tell me where this came from for your family and what have been some of the results that happened.
So I wanted to share this, but this is news that we haven't shared outside of our family. So I just want to keep in perspective for Matthew, when Jesus tells us to, when we give to the needy, not to let our left hand know what our right hand's doing. So in no way do I want you giving us credit, but instead give God the glory for our little example here. Several years ago, we started something that we call Operation Christmas Blessing, and we set aside money for each season, the holiday season, to go ahead and be generous with. And one event from that really impacted us was when my wife Stephanie and our older daughter Lydia were at McDonald's, and they bought us a treat for themselves, some french fries and a sundae. And then they bought a gift card for $100, and they then turned it around and gave it to the manager, who happened to be checking them out at the cash register, and said, "All right, we want you to go over to your drive-thru and use this money to pay until the money's gone on the card." And as they sat down and enjoyed their treat, overhearing some of the conversations in the drive-thru window about who paid what, that the manager was overcome, and he came over to them bringing them french fries and gift certificates. He just was overwhelmed by that generosity. And from those experiences over the holiday season, we decided to do something about a year ago where we made a budget item every month to put aside $100 to be generous. And we took turns of the four family members. Each person for a month got to decide what that money would go to. And so that $100 is important when you hear Natalie's story, because August was her month to be generous.
All right. Well, Natalie, you came up last Sunday, and the day before, just Saturday, you'd had a kind of a God moment. And so can you share with us about that?
So last Saturday night, we were in Park Meadows Mall Food Court, and a little girl walked up to my mom and asked where the American Girl store was. Soon her mother walked up and asked directions to the store and how much a doll would cost. When the mother returned to the table and told the little girl, she sadly counted her money and started to cry. My heart felt like it was sinking and longing to help the little girl. Since it was my month to bless someone with the generosity money, my mother suggested I offer to buy the little girl an American Girl. At first, I was very nervous to go over to the table because I didn't know them, and I didn't know what their response would be, and if this really would be a blessing to them. I hesitantly went over and tried talking to the mother, who wasn't very fluent in English. Eventually, we were able to communicate to her that we'd like to bless her daughter by purchasing an American Girl for her. The mother looked surprised and said, "Are you serious?" The little girl looked overjoyed. We walked them to the American Girl store, and on the way, the little girl was smiling and talking to me nonstop. While we were in the checkout line to buy the doll, the girl walked up to my mother and handed her a roll of dollar bills. She said there was $22 and it was for us. As my mother was told the price of the doll, she leaned over to tell me that the exact price of the doll was $122. As we were walking back to our car, the little girl's huge smile melted me and my family's hearts. On the ride home, I told my dad that I felt like I had just gotten a new doll, only better.
All right, well, thank you for sharing that story. That's the kind of God moments can happen when you allow God to really kind of designate your giving. And I love what Ted and Stephanie are doing as a family, as well as for their girls. And I'm especially glad when I heard about a study that was done to determine what caused some church members to be more generous than others. And much to the researchers' surprise, and I think probably to a lot of pastors' chagrin, it wasn't the effectiveness of the preaching or the cleverness of the church's appeals that had the most impact. what they found to be the most significant factor was being taught generosity as a child, to learn it as you were growing up. Instruction along with example from the parents was the key that unlocked the world of generosity for their children. And so I just want to just ask the parents here today, are you training your children in the ways of generosity? Now, when I mention that, some of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, that explains my challenge. I'm not as generous because I wasn't trained to be generous as a child. And if you never learned generosity growing up, don't make that the reason for not being generous. Make it the reason that you choose to become as generous as you can, because now you're responsible for yourself. Don't let that become the excuse for why you aren't so generous. All through this series, we've had a kind of a working definition of generosity that we've mentioned every week. And what we said is generosity equals a willingness to share one's provisions liberally. And we've had three key words that we've mentioned every week. The first word, of course, is willingness. It's got to be something that you do because you want to. The second key word is provision. That means you're giving away stuff that is your own resources. And then the third key word is liberally. And you don't just give it away a little bit, you're liberal. And that's what generosity is all about. Well, today we want to talk about the joy of generosity. And to talk about the joy of generosity, the key word has to be willingness. Because for generosity to bring joy into your life, there has to be a willingness on the part of the giver. If you're giving grudgingly, that's not going to work. Now, before we go on to what we're going to talk about today, I want to do just a quick review of where we've been these last few weeks. And if you missed any of the messages, you know you can check those online if you would like to. The first week we started, we discovered that grace generates generosity. That if there's anything that leads to generosity, it's grace coming into a person's life. 2 weeks ago, we witnessed the true cause of generosity from the example of a wee little man named Zacchaeus, and we watched how grace transformed him from someone who had previously been really pretty greedy and stingy and self-centered into someone who all of a sudden became very generous, so generous that he immediately, on the spot, gave away half of his possessions right there. That's a transformation. And you see, the grace that God offers us in Christ Jesus enables us to be able to let go of whatever it is that's been providing us with a false sense of security and identity, like our money and our possessions, and it gives us a true identity and a real security, if you remember, as a child of God, unconditionally loved by Him. That's true identity and security, a child of God, unconditionally loved by Him. Then last week, we spent some time learning about how generosity generates power in our life. It's a powerful thing to exercise generosity, because generosity is the true antidote for greed. If you want to get rid of greed in your life, it'll happen through generosity. Generosity multiplies your resources. It allows you to send ahead what you can't take with you when you die, and it creates amazing God moments like the ones that we just heard about. Well, so often you've heard me say around here that Academy Christian Church is the most generous church I've ever had the privilege to work with. And today, I want to do things a little bit different. This isn't a normal type of sermon. But since we're talking about the joy of generosity, I'd like to give you an idea of the real scope of this congregation's generosity. And again, as I keep going over it, it truly is something to celebrate. So we want to do just today a little bit of a celebration of ACC's generosity. And that's only to say how amazing God is, to point us to say what amazing things God can do. And what I'm going to be sharing with you only represents what's been given through Academy Christian. I'm sure that even more has been done by our members on their own, and so this is just what's done through the church. And we're going to look at two main areas of impact that have happened in just the last 5 years. We're a church that's over 40 years old, and this is just the impact that has happened in just the last 5 years alone. So there's two main areas. The first area that we want to look at is our giving that honors the Great Commission. And we try to make the Great Commission a priority. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus instructed his followers to go into all the world and make disciples. He says, don't just stay where you are and keep it to yourself. Go into all the world. Well, we take that responsibility very seriously. And we want to help support Christ's mission around the world. And to help us do that, when we give on Sunday morning, right off the top of that general fund comes 15% that we direct towards our missions giving. Now, in the past 5 years, that total is just under $1 million. $994,000 has been given to missions through our general fund. And we direct that money towards one of three main areas, locally and nationally and internationally. And so locally, we support some ministries like Mercy's Gate that helps people when they get on hard times to have some of the resources they need. We support Life Network that stands up for the unborn. We support a ministry called Crossroads that helps people who are in nursing homes. We support a college-age ministry working specifically on the campus of UCCS called Kairos. Those are some of the local areas. Nationally, we have a focus too. And we provide support for several Bible colleges around the country. And the reason we do that is because these Bible colleges are preparing the next generation of church leaders, and we want to be a part of that. We support also Kairos Prison Ministry that goes into prisons a couple times a year so that people can have an opportunity to hear the gospel. We support Camp Como, our Colorado Christian Service Camp, because of the impact it has. And then we support things internationally. We're supporting today, because of your generosity, missionaries in Africa, in Bangladesh, in India, in Myanmar, in Japan, in Mali, as well as new church planting in New Zealand. And I'd love to be able to tell you more about it this morning, but we've got a special day coming up on September 18th. We're going to do what we do it every 2 years, a missions fair. This year it's called Proclaim. And we're going to have many of the missions that we represent being here. There'll be a place, a display place out in the activity center where you'll have an opportunity to see even more what's being accomplished. Now, along with that, on top of that, because of your generosity, just a couple of years ago, we were able to provide a gift of $80,000 that helped establish the Joy of the Lord Church in Monteverde, Ecuador, which also became a compassion project that today is reaching over 200 children, a number of them that actually have been sponsored by members here of our church family. Because of your generosity, we've also been able to give some significant financial gifts to a couple of our sister churches here in Colorado Springs, one of those being Discovery Christian Church, another Meridian Point Christian Church, that helped them go through a challenging time that they were experiencing. Then this past year, again, because of your cheerful generosity, we were able to give a gift of $50,000 to a new church plant that's going to be launching just next month up the road in Loveland, Colorado. And the church planner, the lead planner, is Jeff Rosenberry, who at one time was a student pastor here at Academy Christian Church. And we've been able to provide so far the largest gift. And Jeff, because of that, wanted to give us a special note of thanks himself this morning.
Hello, Academy Christian Church. My name is Jeff Rosenberry, and I'm the preaching pastor and planting pastor of Revive Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado. You know, your church means so much to me. It gave me my very first full-time youth ministry position. It's where I feel like I really grew as a pastor. It's also where I would meet my wife. And so to have your church support us prayerfully and financially means more to us than you'll ever know. Our project of planting Revive Christian Church started almost 2 years ago, as my wife and I both clearly heard God calling us to plant a church. In October of last year, we moved to Loveland. We started loving on our city, loving on our neighbors, building a launch team, and at the same time continuing to raise prayer and financial support. On July 31st, we started meeting weekly at a school here in Loveland. We've been going through a six-week series called The Core, where we're learning our core values. And at the same time, we're letting our city know that on September 11th, 2016, we will officially have a grand opening month of Revive Christian Church. What we'd ask of you guys is that you continue to pray for us. Pray for our families. Pray for Revive. But more importantly, pray for the many thousands of people here in Loveland that are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our goal and our mission is to fall more in love with Him, but to help people far from God come to life in Christ. If you would like to know more about Revive Christian Church, we welcome you to visit our website at reviveloveland.org, or better yet, come pay us a visit in Loveland. We'd love to see you. Thank you so much again for praying for us and giving financially. May God bless you.
And it doesn't stop there. Because of your continued generosity, at the end of this month, at the end of August, we're again poised to make a gift of over $20,000 to a church plant that's getting ready to launch just right around the corner here at Liberty High School next month, called Trace Church. And I just want to let you know, you're going to have an opportunity to hear a little bit more about that later on. So that's some of the giving that we've done that honors the Great Commission. We've also tried to do some giving that honors the Great Commandment. And most of you know the Great Commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, we're supposed to act compassionately towards others. And that's probably why several years ago, our church family became burdened by the plight of children and orphans in underdeveloped countries. And that burden became so great that in just the last couple of years, this church personally sponsors about 235 children to the tune of about $100,000 a year in Bangladesh and Ecuador. And those are just the ones that we know about. And if that hasn't been a part of your experience yet, I just encourage you today, out in the foyer, there's two tables. If you'd like to look at a child from Ecuador or a child from Bangladesh, there's some folks there. Be glad to talk to you and tell you more about it. The exciting part about sponsoring a child there is that probably in the next couple years, you'd have an opportunity to visit that child in either Bangladesh or Ecuador. And it's an amazing experience to see the transformation that's taking place that you're helping to be a part of when you're that generous. Well, then a couple of Augusts ago, because of your generosity, we were able to give away an entire Sunday's offering to people who had significant financial needs. And we were generous. It was in increments of $1,000 to $3,000. Now, amazingly, that month of August, our offerings had been averaging about $25,000 a week. Would you believe it? On that Sunday, the offering was $44,000 as you guys gave to be able to be a blessing to people in need. And then, of course, we remember several years ago, as so many families lost their homes in the Waldo Canyon and Black Forest fires, this church family gave some $90,000 to those families to be a blessing to them. And many of the people who lost everything received something from our church family, even though most of us knew nothing about them other than their need. And I'll just share with you, there were a number of cards that we got that were thank you notes. I wanted to read one of them from a gal named Krista. And here's what she wrote back when we gave our gift. Thank you for your outpouring of love and support. I think it's a real show of faith for your church to reach out to fire victims like me. And my prayer would be that the Lord can use your gifts to remind us all that He is there always. I need to replace a lot of the clothes I had for work and school presentations. Your gift will allow me to start replacing those things. Again, thank you sincerely, Krista. And there's more. In the past 5 years alone, because of your generosity, our church has been able to provide another $90,000 for benevolent needs when people come and have a need. Things like rent and groceries and utilities and emergency lodging and medical bills and car repairs and clothing and other needs. Because of your generosity, just 2 months ago, we were able to make a gift of $50,000 to the Springs Rescue Mission. They're trying to build a facility that will allow the homeless to get back on their feet, and your generosity allowed us to be a big portion of that. Well, you know, when you total all of that up, and again, I think there's probably even more than that, in just the last 5 years alone, this ACC family has generously given away over $1.7 million. That's amazing generosity. And it's not because of what we've done, it's because of what God has been doing in and through us. And it wasn't done by coercion, nobody's arm had to be twisted. The need was simply shared, and you guys responded willingly and generously. And I hope that for some of you, it provides some great joy when we get to hear about the incredible thing that God has done. Now, here's what we know. The only kind of giving that creates joy is when you've learned to be a cheerful giver. And that's why we want to talk about the joy of giving today. Because if you're going to get to the joy of giving, there's something about joy that you need to recognize. You see, the thing about joy is that joy happens. Have you ever noticed that joy happens? Have any of you ever tried to convince yourself to be joyful? I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. And you're not really able to generate it. See, joy is not something that you can produce. What we know is that joy is more like a byproduct, which means it's usually the indirect result of something else that happens. Now, what we know for sure, and we need to recognize this in America, is that joy is not a byproduct of having more stuff. There's a lot of people think, if I just have more, that will make me happy. In fact, having more stuff usually creates the byproduct of more worry and more stress in our lives. Well, there may be other things, but there are two things that we know of that can create joy or that make joy happen. One of those is this. Joy happens when we know we have something to look forward to. Joy happens when we have something to look forward to. If you think about it, just thinking about a future event can bring some joy into your life. For example, how about that long-awaited vacation that you know you're going on, and you're thinking about it and thinking, man, I'm getting excited. I can sense the joy already. Or it might be a wedding or a graduation or a promotion, and joy begins to fill your mind as you know, I've got something that I'm looking forward to. And that kind of joy can have transformative power in a person's life. And the reason we know that is because that's what we see in the life of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, some amazing things that remind us that maybe as Christians it's going to get a little bit difficult, because it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In other words, we're going to have to hang in there and stay with it. Now, the way we do that is fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I love that description of him. And notice it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, as Jesus thought about what was to come, he experienced joy. And the reason Jesus was able to go through what he did for us, the Bible tells us, was that joy was a major factor that enabled Jesus to go through the unimaginable, because he knew that he had something to look forward to. And that's why for all of us, we've got to begin to recognize that whatever we have to go through, it becomes easier when we have something to go to. Whatever we have to go through, it becomes easier if we have something to go to. And see, Christ's followers are always to be living their lives with the backdrop of eternity, knowing that whatever we're walking through, eternity is just around the corner. Because whatever it is we have to go through, we know something is something we have to go to. I know the Apostle Paul tried to encourage a group of believers in Thessalonica when he wrote a letter to them. And I want you to notice what he said. He was trying to encourage them of what is to come. He said, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we need to keep looking at. Whatever we're going through, that's what we're going to. And notice what he says to them, therefore encourage each other with these words. There's joy that can come from that. And I think, man, in the world that we live in today, our political situation's kind of nuts. Around the world, it's crazy. And Christians are going to be losing their joy if they don't keep their eye on what is ahead. But we know there's another thing that creates joy as well. And joy happens when generous actions are prompted by a generous attitude. Joy happens when generous actions are prompted by a generous attitude. Now, we've been talking about all this during the series, that verse that Jesus made that's quoted by the Apostle Paul, when Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And some of us wonder, is that really true? And the key for it to be true that it's more blessed to give than to receive is when we give with a generous attitude. Because see, being generous really isn't generosity when it's not done willingly. When it's done reluctantly or under compulsion, it ceases to be generosity. And you know what it becomes? Obligation. And do you find much obligation or much joy when you give an obligation? Let me ask you, how many of you really get excited about paying your taxes? You say, wow, great, April 15th is just around the corner. I'm so excited. We're not excited about paying our taxes because that's obligation. Joy happens when generous actions are prompted by a generous attitude. And see, generosity doesn't necessarily lead to joy unless one is able to give cheerfully. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read just three of the verses. The Apostle Paul was talking about an offering and giving that the Christians were going to be doing back then. And here's what he had to say. And obviously, when we start, anytime the Bible says remember this, we should keep it in mind at least. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously is going to reap generously. There we have shared for us the law of the harvest. And then he goes on to say, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, does that mean that God doesn't love people who don't give cheerfully? He still loves those people, but he loves it when we're able to give cheerfully, because he knows what that's going to provide for us. It's going to give joy to us. And then he says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. See, being generous, just being generous, does not guarantee joy unless you're able to give cheerfully. And the reason I know that is I've seen people give and receive absolutely no joy from their giving. And I bet you've probably seen people like that as well. It's kind of like what I think about when I think as I was growing up and I had three sisters and I was the only boy. And so there's some potential for some real conflict in that family. And every now and then I'd get kind of sideways with my sisters, and my parents would think that I mistreated them somehow. I'm not sure how they got there. And so they would tell me, they would say, you need to say to you're sorry to your sister. And so, you know, we'd sit across from each other and we'd have to say we were sorry. And I'd say, sorry. And they didn't necessarily believe me. So what would they say to me? They'd say, say it like you mean it. And so I would try to say it like I meant it. And I may have managed to say it like I meant it, but you know what? That didn't necessarily mean that I meant it, because it was done under compulsion, not because I was doing it willfully or cheerfully. You see, cheerful generosity comes from giving out of gratitude or to a greater purpose. And if we're looking for cheerful generosity, we've got to know, hey, I'm giving out of gratitude or to a greater purpose. I'll admit to you that when I was a child, Christmas was never all about the presents that I bought for everybody else. When I was a child, it was all about what I was getting for Christmas. And my satisfaction came from the presents that I received, not from the presents that I gave to other people. But you know, that was a long time ago. And I was way more immature, way more self-centered. Well, today, you know, I'm a grandfather. And Christmas is no longer about the presents that I get. My joy comes from watching those little people unwrap the gifts that I've given to them. Now, why is that? Well, it's called maturity. I grew up, probably not as much as everybody would like, but I grew up at least somewhat. And as I did, it stopped being about me. And I stopped being so self-centered. Now, unfortunately, some people never grow up. It's still all about them, even though they're now eligible to be members of AARP, which really is not as far along as you think. I found that out. And they're always thinking, hey, what am I getting out of this instead of what they're giving? And they've never discovered the joy of generosity because they haven't learned to do it cheerfully. See, generosity creates joy when it's done cheerfully, because we give willingly. You've probably heard it said before, but I think it's so true. You can give without loving. And people do that all the time. You can give without loving. But you can't love without giving. I mean, when you love and care about people, you're going to give. And one of the prime examples for why we know that's true is because in John 3:16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Well, I hope as we've talked about generosity, just some new thoughts have come to your mind, and I've tried to provide a takeaway with you each week. And so today's takeaway for you, I think, would be this. I would just encourage you, do whatever it takes to become a cheerful giver, because therein lies the joy of generosity. If you'd like generosity to bring joy to your life, then do whatever it takes to become a cheerful giver. Because as I've said each week, we do make a living by what we get. And we have to get stuff because we have bills to pay and groceries to buy and a roof to put over our heads. But we make a life by what we give. Now, as we close today, I really am excited to share with you another kind of opportunity to be generous. I mentioned earlier that next month, Trace Church is going to be launching over at Liberty High School. And Aaron Pennington, the lead pastor, is here to share a little bit of the vision that he has for Trace, and also invite any of you who might feel called to maybe help or to be generous with your time and talents and treasure to talk to his team after the service today. And so this is Aaron. Aaron, glad you're here today.
Thank you. Well, good morning. So I've gotten the privilege to sit and listen this morning and hear all the things that this church is doing. And I know, as Pastor Brian said earlier, that you guys don't want to toot your own horn because that would be self-promoting, but I don't go here, so toot, toot. I'll toot it for you, okay? And this is incredible what you guys have been able to accomplish because you're living open-handedly. And I need to tell you that firsthand what it feels like to be on this end of your generosity and other churches' generosity, because planting a church is not easy. I want to give you a couple of numbers this morning that I hope that you'll hold on to, and I'll start with this one. About 10 years ago, I started my first seminary class, and I remember hearing in my class kind of the state of the church in America. And at that point in time, 7,000 churches were closing every single day. Every single year. And that day, that'd be really bad. Every single year in America. Well, about 3 years ago, I said, I'm curious where it is today. How have those numbers changed? So I went back and looked, and at that point, 5,000 churches were closing every year. And in this past year, I decided one more time, I want to see how things have changed for the landscape of the church in our nation. And so I went and I looked, and it had gotten a little bit better. 3,000 churches were closing every single year in America. Now, if all of us are depressed right now, I can understand why, because that's still very discouraging. So let me encourage you with the next statistic. Even though 3,000 churches closed last year, 4,000 churches were planted and started. Amen. First time that we've overcome that boundary. And so one of the biggest movements going and happening in our country right now is through church planting. But it's not easy. We need as much help as possible. And just to show you how hard it is, I mean, look at your pastor. Nice pressed shirt over there. Here's what a church planter looks like. Like wrinkled. And looks like I just rolled out of bed. I didn't. Promise. But we have been so fortunate, and we truly feel like God's favor is on this church. Hundreds of thousands of dollars have been given to us because people believe in our mission and in our vision. Let me share one more statistic. In the greater Colorado Springs area, there's about 600,000 people. And when I told a lot of people we were coming up here to start a church, they're like, why would you go to Colorado Springs? Like, they got tons of churches. Out of 600,000 people, 500,000 people in the city aren't connected to the local church. Let that sink in. What we are doing is probably one of the best things that, again, is happening in this country, starting new churches to reach people who don't know Jesus yet. So here's the last number that I want to give you. 6 months. Could you give us 6 months to come and help be what we call scaffolding, help us get this thing off the ground? I know that you're a part of an incredible church. You've been hearing about that all morning, so I would never want to rip you away from here. But 6 months, maybe some of you know you could come and be a part of Trace for 6 months and help us get this off the ground. And let me leave you with this verse. 1 Aaron 3:16. When a church planter asks you to come with them, you go. No, that's just a joke. That's not in the Bible. If lightning strikes, you're safe. It's going to be up here. So, guys, thank you already for the generosity that we've received because of this church. And thank you personally to Pastor Brian for all that you guys have done.
As we kind of wrap things up this morning, I want us to pray over Aaron and Trace and their start. The next 30 days are going to be an amazing journey, and hopefully they'll get to see God show up in some incredible ways. So let's pray over them. Father, we're so thankful for your grace, that it can transform our hearts from selfish and inward-focused to be able to love and give and serve. And I thank you for the passion that you have placed in Aaron and his team to plant a church here in Colorado Springs, where there are still so many people who need an opportunity to be able to know you. And I want to pray for your anointing and for your covering over them as they get ready to launch. Thank you that here at ACC we can have an opportunity to partner with them in this kingdom effort and endeavor. And we pray that you would guide them through that process, and that, Father, you'd continue to help us as a church to be generous and to recognize that your love and your grace knows no limits, has no bounds, is open to as many as who would come. And so help us to keep the doors wide open and provide that opportunity for other people to come to know you. Thank you for your love that draws us and that draws this world. And we are glad that we're a part of your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.